Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Got an email this morning from Robert who asked how court-appointed attorneys work. How does it work that you get a court-appointed attorney? Great question. I'm glad you asked me that. Boom, we're going to talk about it right now. So in all 50 states in America, as you know from watching television, if you get arrested and they Mirandize you, they tell you that, among other things, you have the right to an attorney, and if you cannot afford one, one will be appointed for you. How does that work? Well, let me explain it to you. First of all, I'm going to be talking about Michigan in specific, but this is going to be similar to what the case is in most states. So I'm getting a lot of this information from the Michigan court website. But it says, you know, if you're involved in a court action other than a small claims case, you have the right to an attorney. Now, you have the right to an attorney, but sometimes you got to pay for the attorney yourself. So if it's a lawsuit and you have an attorney, you have to pay for that yourself. But they point out it can be very difficult to handle a case on your own because there are many rules to follow, laws to know that form the basis of your case, and certain actions that must be taken. And that's the one thing that screws people up. If you want to file a lawsuit and try to handle it on your own, or you're being sued and you want to handle it on your own, it's a minefield of deadlines where if you miss a deadline, you could lose your case. And a lot of these deadlines are very, very harsh. And attorneys know this stuff, and we've learned to deal with this stuff. But if you aren't familiar with this, it can be very, very difficult. And even filing documents can be confusing to attorneys. And sometimes, you know, what goes to the clerk's office, what goes to the judge's clerk, what, you know, where do you file stuff? So it can be very, very confusing. But as they point out, a person with very little or no legal training may not know about these things or how to find out about them. You may need the assistance of an attorney. So that's the point, that you are allowed to have an attorney in every case except for small claims court, because in small claims court, it's designed to work without attorneys. The point is you can go into small claims and handle it fine, and you don't need an attorney because it's designed that way. Everything else is designed for the attorneys, trust me. So a court-appointed attorney, when you are entitled to one, it's going to be in a criminal action and only certain criminal actions. So you may be entitled to a court-appointed attorney at no cost to you, either because of the type of case you're involved in or because you are indigent, meaning you are unable to afford an attorney, and the court finds that you are indigent after reviewing information about your income, property, expenses, and other financial information. So here's the deal. Generally speaking, the court appointment is going to hinge on whether or not you're facing jail time. So I've had people ask me, and they say, Steve, I got a traffic ticket. Can I get a court-appointed attorney for that? Well, most traffic tickets in Michigan are civil infractions, and you're not facing jail time. You're simply facing fines. So you are not entitled to a court-appointed attorney in that. You can hire an attorney if you want to, but you don't get appointed one if you can't afford one. If you cannot afford an attorney and are entitled to a court-appointed one, the court will give you a form to complete that gives the court information about your financial situation. Sometimes the court will require a repayment of some or all the costs of a court-appointed attorney. Those two sentences are what get everybody. First of all, when you go into court and say, I am indigent, I want a court-appointed attorney, the court doesn't just go, oh, okay. The court says, oh, fill this form out, and they give you a thing that looks like a credit application. It looks like you're about to buy something or apply for a credit card at Sears, because it actually says, you know, name, address, phone number, and it goes, you know, do you have a job? How much do you make? Do you have any expenses? Do you have child support you pay? And it actually goes and asks you all these financial questions about your economics. And I don't know how the court crunches those numbers to determine whether or not you're entitled to a court-appointed attorney. My gut reaction, based on the people I've spoken to, is that most people who ask do get them. But there's the possibility they might look at your assets and your income and go, you can afford an attorney. You know, you're entitled to an attorney at taxpayer expense if you can't afford one. But if you can afford one, well, they're going to figure that out by looking at your financials. So I've seen people in court who say, you know, I'd like an attorney. And someone walks over and hands them a clipboard with some papers on it, goes, here, fill this out, you know. So the second thing I'm going to tell you, and I mentioned it a second ago, is that it says sometimes the court will require a repayment of some or all of the costs of a court-appointed attorney. And so we've heard that you're entitled to an attorney, and if you can't afford one, one will be appointed for you. But it's extremely common that if you get found guilty or you work out some kind of deal, you know, like you plead guilty to something, it's extremely common that you're going to get hit with court costs. And among the court costs you'll be asked to repay is the cost of your court-appointed attorney. And I've sat with clients before just watching what happens in court ahead of us. And that's the one where I have clients turn to me and they go, did I just hear that right? And I go, yeah. They go, I thought you got that for free. Well, one will be appointed for you if you can't afford one. But if you get hit with fines and costs, especially if you pled guilty to something, the court can assess fines and costs. And one of the costs that the court incurred was hiring you an attorney. So the interesting thing about this is it makes sense on one level, but also you probably got a better deal because you had the attorney. So it's worth it for you. But I have to tell you that. Now, I've had people ask me on some of these questions. They say, Steve, are you speaking from personal experience? I've never had a court-appointed attorney, but I've been one. I've been one. And I'm talking about years and years and years ago. I've been practicing law enough for 27 years in the state of Michigan. It'll be 28 this year. And when I first started out, before I had this rip-roaring practice doing lemon law, I was, you know, looking around for work. You know, in other words, I wanted clients to hire me. And there was a time when I'd handle different stuff. This stopped a long time ago, but for a little while there, I'd handle pretty much anything. If you're willing to pay me as an attorney, I'd consider doing something for you, except for divorce work. Never do divorce work. But there was a guy in my office suite named Bruce Lightman, who's an attorney, and he's passed away. And one of the greatest guys I've ever met in any profession, but especially among lawyers. Brilliant, friendly, jovial, generous, you know, I don't mean to gush about this guy because you probably don't know who he is, but he was a guy that, you know, I was better off for knowing him. And his son, Matthew Lightman, is actually a federal judge now in the U.S. District Court for, I believe, the Eastern District of Michigan. But Bruce Lightman did a lot of criminal work. And as a result of that, he knew a lot of judges in, like, Oakland County. And one day I was talking to him, he goes, hey, would you like to do some court appointments? And I said, sure. I mean, assuming that means work, yeah. And he goes, okay. He goes, because he was in enough courtrooms to know which courts would hand out appointments to, you know, attorneys looking for work. And so he had his secretary send out a couple letters saying, hey, guy in my office suite named Steve Leto is an attorney, nice guy. I know him. He appears to be competent. And, you know, I'd suggest that you put him on your list for court appointments. And next thing you know, I'm getting court appointments where I get a letter in the mail from the court that just says, hey, congratulations, you now represent this guy. And here's what he's charged with. And here's how much you're going to get paid for representing him. And, you know, it wasn't a lot of money, but it was money. And you know, the question is, at what point does it become not enough to do? So I did court appointments for a couple of years. And it wasn't what I did full time. But I, you know, every week or so, I'd get another one. They say, hey, come on, represent this guy. And I might go to court once or twice and take care of something for somebody. And it was interesting because, you know, that's the most criminal defense work I probably ever did on a sustained level. But, you know, and it was fascinating. I got to spend some time in court and deal with prosecutors and judges and people who'd never met me before who, hey, I'm your attorney. Congratulations, you know. So it was interesting to do that. But again, like I said, generally speaking, you will be appointed a court-appointed attorney if you can demonstrate to the court that you cannot afford to hire one on your own and you're facing potential jail time. Now, the interesting thing I've got to tell you, though, beyond that, is there are other situations where you could be appointed an attorney. So let's talk about them. So, for instance, the obvious one is the indigent defendant in a criminal case. If the offense charged requires on conviction a minimum term in jail, or if the court determines that it might sentence the defendant to jail. So if you're facing potential jail time, in essence, that's when you could ask for one. An indigent respondent in a civil contempt proceeding for child support enforcement matters if the court is considering jail as a penalty for non-payment. So somebody's in court, they're going to be held in contempt for failing in their child support obligations. if the court's considering jail time as a possible sentence, then they might appoint you an attorney for that case. An indigent respondent in a criminal contempt proceeding concerning a personal protection order. So you are violating a PPO, and you might go to jail for that, and you're standing in front of the court without an attorney. The judge might say, you know something, you ought to have an attorney. If you say, I can't afford one, they might appoint you one. An indigent juvenile in a delinquency proceeding, or if the juvenile isn't indigent, the court may appoint an attorney for a juvenile in certain other situations. So it's possible that the court has a juvenile in front of them, and the court's wondering if this kid understands what's going on, or if this kid is capable of understanding, or if the kid is capable of handling the situation. And, you know, we've all met those people who are quiet because they don't feel like speaking up, and people mistake that for, oh, this person understands, they're being quiet. Or they might be confused. You never know. Some people are just quiet. An individual who is the subject of an involuntary mental commitment proceeding. So somebody gets brought in involuntarily to be committed for a mental problem. A court could assign that person an attorney. A person asserted to meet the criteria for judicial admission. A person asserted to meet the criteria for judicial admission. I have no idea what that means. A guardianship proceeding for a developmentally disabled person. Again, the person's in front of the court. The court wants to make sure that person's interests are represented properly. And if the argument is that the person is developmentally disabled, they probably need an attorney to make sure that their interests are protected. An indigent respondent in a child protective proceeding. A lawyer guardian ad litem for children subject to a protective services petition. Again, you know, when there's different groups in front of the court wants to make sure that they all have their interests protected, and that might require an attorney, especially if it's children. An indigent person who is the subject of a petition for testing or commitment for infectious disease. Some of these are obscure. A legally incapacitated person who does not already have an attorney in a proceeding to modify a guardianship. So that makes sense. Now, there are some other situations where the court may appoint an attorney. Doesn't have to, but they may. An attorney for an indigent, non-custodial parent contesting termination of parental rights in a step-parent adoption. That's very, very specific. An attorney for a minor who has filed a petition for emancipation. So a minor child appears before the court and says, I want to be emancipated, and you don't have an attorney. Judge might say, you know, I think you need an attorney here, just to make sure. An attorney for the parents or guardian of a minor that has filed a petition for emancipation if the parents or guardian are indigent and oppose the petition. So there could be attorneys appointed on both sides. An attorney for a child in a child custody dispute. So you can imagine a situation where the mother and the father are scrapping like cats and dogs, and there's a kid there in the middle that everyone seems to have forgotten about, especially because they're fighting over that kid. So the child could have an attorney appointed to represent the child's interests. And then finally, an attorney for a minor in a guardianship, conservatorship, or protective case. So you'll notice that several of those are not criminal in nature. And so they're not always criminal in nature. But the most likely one you're going to hear about is someone who's arrested, charged with a crime, and they face potential jail time. In that case, you are entitled by the Constitution of the United States of America to have appointed for you an attorney. And, you know, it bases, you know, on whether or not you are facing potential jail time. That's the dividing line. I can tell you right now that the pay that I was paid to do court appointments was not much. And I'd say it was about half of what attorneys charged for the same services in the open market, meaning that for something I would normally charge $500 for, the court would pay me $250. Now, at the time, I would take the money, beats zero, and sitting in my office and playing Brick Breaker. But later on, as I got busier with my practice, very quickly I moved on from that. But there are arguments to be made that because these, you know, public defenders are paid so little, that they are not necessarily capable of doing the same kind of work that an attorney that you pay out of your own pocket is going to do. And that's a potential problem. There are stories that you hear about in the news every now and then where some city has got a department that oversees these kinds of defense cases and assigns these attorneys to these cases. And they'll say, like, you know, this attorney's got like 100 cases to deal with today. And he's got to literally start from zero and get himself up to speed, meet the client, go talk to the prosecutor, and try to get the case disposed of, or it's going to go to trial, and then do that 99 more times today. And the question then becomes, well, are these people getting the minimum required for the constitutional protections that are guaranteed you by the Constitution, you know, your right to a, you know, counsel? And there's an argument to be made that sooner or later, as the quality of the representation drops off, perhaps you're not getting that. And that is a concern. So my suggestion to you, if you're facing jail time and you're borderline, hire an attorney with your own money if you can. But if you can't, you know, you can always ask the court for court-appointed attorney, and you're going to get what you get. And it depends on what system you're in. And you know, the interesting thing is I've seen cases. I've seen murder cases, for instance, out of Macomb County, Michigan, where the court looked at the case and said, you know, this is complicated and it's serious. And the court actually appointed some well-known defense attorneys, said, you guys are handling the case now, if that's okay with you. And they said, sure. And presumably they got paid more than the typical court-appointed attorneys, because I know they did a lot more work, you know. So it's going to vary wildly from state to state, court to court, and possibly literally from court to court within a, you know, counties. You know, I've heard of, you know, courts in some counties that, you know, send the cases out individually. And I've also heard of courts where they basically just give a stack of files to one attorney and go, here you go, those are your cases today. So I can't guarantee you're going to get the best representation that money can buy as a court appointment, but you will get an attorney. So that's how you know if you're entitled to an attorney. Like I said, it's going to vary a little bit from state to state, but generally speaking, that's how it works. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.